Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed, so I call your name, your name.
Good evening, everybody. How are you? This is welcome. My name is Roman Karpyszka, and welcome to the Medium Insights Hour, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation and Signs of Life Radio. We gather here every month to explore the mindsets of many accomplished spiritual mediums on many topics related to the study of consciousness, spirituality, and the afterlife. I'm Roman Karpyszka. I'm here every month. It's my pleasure to do this, and I want to welcome Laura Wooster to the show. She is an intuitive medium, a teacher, and the host of the Intuitive Life podcast on mindbodyspirit.fm. On her journey of 18 years, she studied with the top teachers in her field from the United States and the United Kingdom, and she's also a spiritualist minister ordained by the Journey Within Spiritualist Church in Pompton Lakes, New Jersey. So with a calm, supportive presence, she offers private intuitive sessions to help you become the person you are meant to be while honoring where you are today. In addition, she offers private medium sessions that offer peace and awareness that your departed loved ones are still present. And her website is simply her first and last name.com. So laurawooster.com, LauraWooster.com. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, tonight's show is commercial free, no interruptions. And also, we welcome your questions. You can call in at 1-888-627-6008. But please note that Laura will not be doing any readings. We're just doing this show to find out about mediumship and to find out, more about spirit and all that kind of fun stuff. So with all that said, welcome to the show, Laura.
Thank you, Roman. I'm so happy to be here with you this evening. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. And I know this is my first time talking to you because I'm looking at my old files and I did not remember your name in there. So you've been on the show before, but you've been on with Tom Gould, right?
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, great. And that was probably what, a year ago or somewhere?
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff. And where do you reside, Laura? Like somewhere in Massachusetts or something like that?
Yes, I'm in New England. I'm in Massachusetts.
Oh, okay, wonderful. Okay, so and forgive me because this is the first time I'm interviewing you, so I just want to, kind of find out a little bit about you. And in terms of your sittings, do you give you give private readings? People can book you on your website, that kind of thing. And do you see that? I see that you also do the in phone sittings. Do you see a difference between personal sittings, like in person, and telephone readings? Is there a difference for you, or is there a difference for the sitter? What do you think?
From my side, there's really no difference at all. But I know for a lot of people, some people actually prefer sitting in person with a psychic or a medium. They feel more connected or comfortable. Yeah. But for me, as far as connection, it doesn't matter. Either one, it pretty much works the same for me.
And you don't have a preference either, right, probably?
I don't, no. I've just found that, especially during COVID and everything, I started having a lot more clients from outside the area. Right. So just for that reason, I do a lot of phone readings now, much, much, much more than I used to. But I really don't have a preference.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, that's a good point. Like COVID changed a lot of this for you, I'm sure. And for you mediums, yeah. I'm sure that the phone readings probably went up, and which is a great thing. Why not? So,
Yeah.
are you, what kind of medium are you? Do you are you what like are you clairsentient? Like which Claire are you?
Good question.
Which Claire's?
I experience all of them, but I'm primarily, I would say, clairaudient, clairvoyant, and clairsentient. But then there's other things mixed in as well. But it depends on, it's interesting how it happens. It can vary from communicator to communicator, depending
Yeah,
on,
it sure does. Absolutely. Now, do you go into any kind of a trance or you do any rituals or mantras before you do a reading?
Not as much as I used to. I used to, when I was really, early on when I was first developing as a medium, I had a lot of prayers and things. I got, it was kind of very ritualistic for me, to call on the, all the beings and everything that, but I've just found over time that all I need to do is sit in the silence and to, get centered and focus on the spirit side or just my own being, until it's time to connect with my sitter.
Fantastic. So we already have a caller. We have
Great.
Anna from New York on line two, and she has a question, I guess, for the both of us. So with that said, Anna, welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you perfectly.
Hi, Anna. Hi,
Lauren. How are you?
Hi, good. How are you?
Good. So I have a question, Laura, for you. My sister and I, we lost our kids just under a year, in the 2 years. And we feel their presence. We believe in the afterlife. We believe that they're around, and we sometimes see signs from them. But sometimes, we're not quite sure if those are the signs, or sometimes we see the signs and we believe those are the signs. But then the people put doubt in our minds saying, what, it's just, part of life, and you saw this and you saw that, and it's not unusual. Can you maybe speak a little bit to that? What signs are coming from the other side, and how to truly understand them, and how to, I guess, be certain that that's the sign?
Great
Yeah,
question. It's a great question. Yes. I know, for myself, my own experience when connecting to loved ones on the other side, that, there's certain signs that are undeniable. You absolutely know for sure it's them, and nobody's going to shake you of that confidence that it's them. But then there's other times when they're a little bit more subtle and you're not sure. And in those times, you may not be sure. But anytime that happens, I typically say, I saw that. And if it was you, thank you, and do it again. That's what I would do if you're not sure.
Wow,
Can
yeah.
we ask for signs?
Absolutely. You can absolutely ask for signs, and you can also ask for certain things to be shown to you, and just be open to how that's shown to you. And you may be surprised by that, how they bring those things through to you in the most unusual way, I know of someone who, they wanted the sign of a deer, from their loved one. They said, if I see a deer in my yard, then I know that you're here. And so they didn't, for a long time, they didn't have a deer walking through their backyard, but they saw deers everywhere else, like in all different forms, like on a t-shirt, a stuffed deer somewhere else, in the most unusual places and unusual ways. And it was kind of humorous as it went on because it became a thing. So it's always good to be open to how that can happen, and not, and it's, it's good to maybe give them an idea of what you'd like to see as far as a sign, but then be open to all the creative ways they can bring that to you, and they can actually make it a very fun experience.
A lot of mediums when they start out, they kind of have a lot of doubt, because it's not real. Is it really the thing? Exactly what you're experiencing. And the mediums that become successful are the ones that have the confidence in knowing that what they perceive is real. And I think once you, that's the ego, I think, really coming in and saying, no, it's not, you know, and it's people's ego saying, no, that's not real, you know. So I think if you are more open to it, I think also you're going to get more signs and you'll be able to see them better.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's a process. And just because you don't believe or you feel like you're not sure, it doesn't mean that. I just think it just means that you just want to be sure. You want to make sure it's definitely them, and you just, you know, and over time that confidence can build as you develop that communication with your loved one. And it just takes time. It's a process. It's like learning a whole new language. And I often say, you know, if you had a loved one who was still here on the planet, and for some reason they weren't able to communicate in the way they normally could, that we would do everything we can to learn some way to communicate with them here. And it's really no different when they're not in the body anymore and they're learning as well how to get this across to us. So I say, instead of worrying about it, just to get super curious about all the ways that they can let you know they're around, and find joy in it. Find it almost like it's almost becomes a game, and not to take it lightly at all, but I find that when there's more joy in it, the more likelihood that they can come through. And so, you know, I think it's important to have discernment as well. And I consider myself a very grounded person. It took me many years to really embrace and understand that this is, I was asking every day, is this real? Am I really, is this really happening? When it first started to happen for me, that connection as a medium, And to have that kind of grounded discernment, I think, is really good. But also we have to sort of open ourselves up to the potential that it's possible. So even if you're not 100% sure when a sign comes through from them, to just simply say, if that was you, thank you. And I'd love to see more. You know, that kind of thing.
And to learn more about it, read Bob's book, The Medium Explosion. He asks all, like, you know, your question that you asked, it's in the book and it's asked and answered. So I would highly recommend getting that book, The Medium Explosion by Bob Ginsberg. That can answer a lot of your questions. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, Anna, thank you. Do you have any other questions?
Thank you. No, that's good. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Anna.
Thank you for your call. Have a great day. Yeah, that was an interesting call. It's a crazy world that we live in, don't you think? Like, especially what's happening now, it's really crazy. So you really gotta, I don't know, you gotta discern. You gotta discern. You gotta, you know, you gotta listen to yourself, basically. I don't know.
Yes,
that's my thing. So you were saying that when you started, you had some rituals and prayers, but now you don't. You don't really have because you're more comfortable with it, or more experienced with it is a better word. You can just like dive right into your mediumship at this point when you do have a session.
Pretty much, yeah. I just, you know, it's just sort of developing a muscle, I guess, in a way, and by having the, you know, it's not that I come in with a prayerful presence rather than actually having to say prayers a lot of times. It's just going into the presence of spirit. So it's more like that now. It's less having to say things and just going into the energy of that.
Gotcha. Now, do you ever do group sessions?
I do. I'm doing a lot more group sessions lately too. I have some coming up this year.
And how do you have, like, there must be like a ton of spirits like bombarding you.
It can be very,
how does that work?
Yeah, it can be very crowded. You know, like there might be, you know, 100 people in the room, but it will feel like 500. But, you know, it's just, it's more of staying grounded. I've just learned to stay grounded within that energy and to stay focused. And so it's a process to learn. It's like, it's one thing to connect with spirit, but then it's a whole other layer of learning as a medium, especially working with groups, is to stay focused and grounded, to be able to connect with one at a time, one communicator at a time.
I was referring before, not to the amount of people in a room. I was referring to the amount of spirits in the room.
Oh yeah. Oh,
Yeah, it
yeah.
must be like a ton. I mean, do they line up? Do you how do you pick, okay, you're next, you're next, you're next? Is it the strongest one, the one that's the loudest, is the one that you pick up, or
Yes, that's pretty much what it is. Yeah. And so whoever steps forward first, they typically will get my attention. And I really do feel like as I see things kind of play out and during these group sessions, is that it's almost as if they kind of know who's going to be there before we even get in the door. And it's amazing. Like you'll see, there'll be a whole row or two, like maybe two rows together that people who don't really know each other, but they've all had similar losses, and they just end up sitting next to each other. And they end up having all these people come through, and it's almost like they've lined it up on the other side, and they kind of influence them to sit in the same spot. So a lot of these things, I think, are determined ahead of time before we all even walk in the door and sit down. And so it does. It I kind of get the sense that they do line up, and they say, "Okay, well, I'm going to go first, and they're going to go second." And it's almost as if they're trying to touch as many people as possible, even because obviously, if there's 100 people in the room, or people who are still here, not everybody's going to be able to get a reading, but it's
Yep.
almost as if they bring through the people that are going to be the voice for as many people as possible. It's fascinating to see how it all works, and I just trust it's going to happen the way it's supposed to.
I just came back from Canada from a funeral for an uncle that I was very, very close with, and so he just crossed over. So when what what do you think he would see when or he would have seen when he crossed over? Would he be met by loved ones? Would he be met by, like, what is a typical scenario for something like that?
I truly believe that they're met by loved ones.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And you would recognize a loved one, like, you said you have a bit of, like, one of the clairs is your clairvoyance. So you see some of the people. So when you cross over, like, is it more of a feeling, or is it more of a like an actual visual perception of somebody waiting for you there on the other side? What do you think?
Well, based on experience, and obviously I haven't crossed myself yet, but my dad passed just over a year ago, and there were a few days before we didn't know he was going to cross. I had a suspicion he might, but I wasn't sure. But a couple of days before, he started pointing in the corners of the room and saying, "My mother's here, my mother's here." And he said it with such certainty, and just I just knew. I knew she was there, and that was the first indication. I knew that most likely there was a really good chance he was going to be crossing. Not that if you see somebody, you automatically know you're going to cross, but I had a sense of that. And then about 24 hours before, he saw her again, and he was very adamant that he saw her, that she was there to take him home. So I've heard this time and time again, people seeing their loved ones coming to greet them, and it's just such a grounding and loving feeling that when those people from the other side are arriving to open the door for their loved one to step through the door with them, it's just beautiful.
Nice. And that must, I'm sure a lot of people, when they cross over, they're scared. They're scared shitless. This is a,
Of
this is
course.
dying,
Yeah.
So it's a, I know my uncle was, he was 6'6". He was a six dan karate black belt, larger than life kind of guy, but he was scared. He was just, and I wanted to talk to him about, what's on the other side, because I've read hundreds of books on it. I've hosted this show. I've been very involved with the Forever Family Foundation, so I kind of know a little bit about it, and so it was against church, he was strictly Catholic, that kind of thing, so he didn't want to talk about it or anything like that, but it's kind of sad that, I couldn't have, I was not able to put his mind at ease, because he wanted nothing to do with it.
Right.
Yeah,
Yeah, that's
it's
the thing. We all have our own journeys with that. And my dad was scared too to go. He wanted to leave the hospital a few days before, and it was hard to watch because he was scared to die as well. I think he knew he was going to be passing. And but when my grandmother showed up for him, that's when he started to relax a little bit. And yeah, it was just incredible, you know, that to experience that.
Absolutely. So we have another caller. We have Christine from California on line two, and she has a question for you. So, Christine from California, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on.
Very welcome.
Hi, Christine.
Hi. So my question for you is that I have been able to connect as well personally myself. And I was just wondering if prior to connecting, do you ever have a feeling in your body where you're almost like lifting up out of your body and then the connection comes?
Yes, absolutely. And that's one of the things I used to feel very early on when I was first experiencing connecting as a medium, and I was still trying to figure out what was going on. There was like this really strong, almost magnetic feeling of lifting up.
Yes.
And a lot
I
from
mean,
the
I
bed, like.
literally thought we had a seizure disorder going on. Like, I went to all these neurologists trying to figure out what was going on. So it's like, I really wanted to ask that question of somebody like yourself.
Yeah, it's very, and it's interesting. And it was at the back of my head and pulling up, and I thought I was having an issue too, but I found that that's exactly what was. It would proceed just before I would start to have visions of people stepping forward. So absolutely, that can be your indication that spirit is stepping in closer with you. And you may notice over time, if you work with it, that it actually that feeling will dissipate, but you'll still have the connection.
Interesting. Okay. Well, that makes me feel so much better because when you're trying to figure out if it's a health issue, but then
Yes.
you're realizing that you're having these connections, they must be meaningful. It makes me feel a lot better to hear it from someone like you directly.
Oh, good. I'm
Christine,
so
are you
glad. And
conscious
it's
when this happens? You're conscious the whole time when you're having these experiences? Yeah, usually it happens, I would say, when I'm relaxed state. So about to go to sleep, but not asleep, waking up, but still in bed.
You might be experiencing what's called you might be having an out of body experience, because I've had two in my life, very far apart, but they were on this it, for sure that's what it was. It is a like a out of your body magnetic pull kind of, and I also experienced like it's almost like an electrical charge, like what I had, like, and then poof, you're out of your body. I mean, it just kind of reminded me of that. And it happened to me twice around sleeping time, you know? It's kind of when your body is asleep, but your mind is still awake. So that can
And
be.
then for me, I get like light images though, and that's where it was very different. And when I would explain to the neurologist, I would say, well, I'm getting these light images. And they said, well, yeah, that's really common with seizure disorders. So then they would say, well, what are the light images like? And then I would say, I'll get a shape of a heart, or I'll get a word or a letter. And then they started looking at me like, what is going on with this? You know?
Yeah, you're having
And
quite a
they said,
clairvoyant experience.
no. Yeah, they said, no, not like that. And so then, but I still did all the EEGs. I did like rounds and rounds of EEG testing. Everything came back normal. And then I found out my son passed away last year. And
Sorry.
I found out that prior to him passing away, he was having drug-related seizures at the same time that I was going through all of that. So I think I was also psychically connected to him and the process and what he was going through. And then now that he's passed, he's another person that I've been able to kind of have these interactions with.
It's beautiful that you can have that connection. That's
Yeah,
wonderful.
that's it's more, you have a blessing, not a curse there. Okay, so
Absolutely.
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely want to grow it and try to help others. I feel like I've had these big losses in my life as like preparation in a way, and so I sort of want to pay it forward in the same way. But I know that I've talked to people and they're like, oh, you know, if you're getting that gift, you a lot of times people have like a medium that they work with that is almost like their teacher. Is that, do you think that that's necessary, or do you think that you can just open directly on your own?
Oh, you absolutely can open directly on your own. It might be helpful to check in with somebody that you trust as sort of a mentor to understand, you know, there's certain protocol, things that you can work with people in a way. That is,
I guess that's the hard thing though, is finding someone like that. You know, I mean, I don't know any, I mean, I live in California, San Diego.
There's plenty of people that, for example, I teach a lot through the Journey Within Center in New Jersey. And even though I'm in New England, I teach through New Jersey, and it's all online. And there's just certain challenges that can come up as you're working with people and as you're learning how to work with people, that would be good to have someone that you can go to say, okay, I had this,
right.
I had a tough time understanding what the spirit communicator was trying to say. Can you help me with that? Or, you know, there might've been a particularly challenging connection that you might've, you know, might need to check in with somebody about. And there's certain like suggested protocols that you can go through to not only for you to be able to connect with spirit, but to help your person that you're doing the reading for to understand it better. And so it might be helpful to take a class or two just to not only confirm your abilities and to grow your confidence with them, but also to help to make it so you know exactly how to connect with people and how to communicate these things to people. So it's, they can more easily embrace it.
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. And you're saying that on the Journey Within, that's something that I could do remotely if I wanted to join yours, or is that just an example of one of those?
Well, that's an example of one. There's many, many people that teach online, but that's one organization I teach through is the Journey Within. And it's also, there's another Forever Family Foundation medium who runs that, so the center of the church. So that's Joe Scheel, who you may have heard of if you're aware of the Forever Family Foundation, but he's also a certified medium with this organization as well.
Perfect. Well, that's great information. Thank you. So the biggest help has been like realizing that lifting feeling is not, you know, something that I need to medically work to tell.
And Christine, you know, the brain is like a receiver. Think of it as a TV, a television. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It has functions in it, like receivers, that if they go wrong, well, yeah, you will stop having the ability to perform that function. Just like if you take a baseball bat to your TV and smash it, you're not going to kill the weatherman. You're killing the receptor. You know, the brain. What I'm trying to say is all this medical stuff. Yeah, I mean, they'll be able to see physical stuff that affects the brain, such as cancer or whatever, you know, but the stuff that the information, like the consciousness, they know nothing about that. There is nothing. They know nothing. Memory is not stored in the brain. They haven't found where memory is stored in the brain. Personality, it's not stored in the brain. Your brain's like a reducing valve receptor. Think of it that way. Also, there is a website that you might want to check out. It's called Victor Zammit. If you're looking for a ton of information on this subject, he comes out with the Friday Afterlife reports. And believe me, they are loaded with information and links and videos. And just every Friday, you just sign up. It's free. You'll get it every Friday. You'll get it actually Thursday.
How do you spell his last name?
I believe it's Zammit. Victor Zammit. Okay. He's a retired lawyer from Australia. And he's been doing this for years. And he's wonderful. I mean, he talks about the Forever Family Foundation also. And again, the Forever Family Foundation is a great resource as well. They got a ton of links. Okay. So you might want to try that as well. Okay. On your journey.
Definitely. No, I've definitely been a frequent flyer on that website.
Oh yeah. And you'll get those reports forever. I signed up like 15 years ago and I'm still getting the reports every Thursday, like clockwork.
Great resource.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, it's been a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so much for taking so much time. I thought I might not even get through, so this is beyond my expectations.
Of course.
That's a great Anytime. Question. Thank you for calling.
Thank you, Christine.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Good luck.
And that's something that's so important to mention, too, is to, you know, once all the tests are done and everything, that what's left after that, right? So it's always good to have that checked out. Because I had,
of course, I'm not saying go against medical. I mean,
oh, absolutely,
something physically wrong with you. You know, it's good that we're alive today and not 100 years ago. Yeah,
you know? Right. But there was a lot, like when I was seeing things visually and I was hearing things, I was having my hearing checked and my eyes checked, and everything was fine. There was nothing wrong. And so then all that was left was like, okay, so I'm hearing these things and I'm seeing these things. So I know there must be something happening here. So.
That's very interesting. So is there like, for you, is there, do you like, I kind of touched on this before, but do you change any level of consciousness? Do you alter? Is there an optimal stage of consciousness that you would like to be in, or that you are in when you do a reading?
Yeah, it's well, like I've said before, it's kind of like a, you know, muscle memory in a way. Once you kind of went, you know, through meditation and everything, you get into that space of receptivity for spirit. And so that's kind of what I do, is just getting into that altered state where I'm still able to communicate with the person that's sitting with me, either on the phone or in person,
yep.
but also to be open to receiving information from the other side.
So in that altered state, do you still like see the room that you're in? Are you conscious of your surroundings? Or are you still like aware of it, but it's more in the background and you're...
Precisely. Yes, exactly. It's more like I'm still very aware of what's in the room, but I'm just a little bit more focused on what's not in physically in the room. And so it becomes just a little bit, like you said, it's a little bit dimmer. I don't really notice these things. I might see lights flashing a little bit around, almost like orbs kind of flashing.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're so strong that the person that I'm reading for will actually see them too. So it's pretty cool.
I have a picture after my son crossed over at 5 years old when he was, back in 2007. And 2 months later, he appeared posthumously in a picture as an orb right on my heart.
Oh, amazing.
When we blew up the orb, you saw his face in it. It's the most incredible thing. His face with angel wings. It's incredible.
Awesome.
It just happened. I didn't ask for it. And I was wearing a sweater and there was this orb, right? It wasn't a reflection because sweaters are not reflective. You never know what it, you know? And that was, you know, there's different classifications of signs that, for me, that was class A, class number one. You know, you can't beat a sign like that. That was really good.
That's amazing. What a gift.
Yeah.
What a
yeah,
gift.
That was a gift. Yeah. But I find that, you know, it's 15 years have passed and the signs are much less frequent. What do you think?
I have a few theories about that. And, you know, one is that we don't need the connection as much. I believe that our loved ones can be still around years on, but we may not need that immediate recognition that they're there. I also feel like sometimes it's almost like we get acclimated to them being around. So it's not as, you know, the little hellos are a bit more subtle.
Yeah, I never thought of it that way.
And
That's
so
that's an interesting perspective, that we can get acclimated to. You're the first person, I've interviewed hundreds of mediums, and you're the first person that ever said that to me. Very interesting.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my sense about it. Yeah, that it's because if you think we're just oftentimes because we're in the physical world, we really consider ourselves to be so separate from those on the other side. And I think we're just always connected to them. And there's these threads of energy, you know, symbolically here is the best way I can describe it, that reach out to people where, and, you know, even if they're on the other side, and those, it evolves and changes, and we acclimate to their energy on the other side. And especially when you lose a child to the other side, I really feel like part of our spirit, and it's not a loss. It's more of like part of our spirit is with them, and that connection is still there, and it's still the same frequency, you know. So that's how I see it.
Yeah. No, that's a great way of seeing it, and it could be a new way of looking at things. Thank you very much for that. Personally, that's going to help me. Thank you.
You're welcome. I hope it helps.
Oh, I'm sure it will. Do you ever get sitters that are like non-believers? Like, I don't want to be here. You know, my wife forced me to be here, or I don't know, just like those kind of scenarios. And how do you handle that? And do you end up converting them into believers? How does that play out for you usually?
Yeah, that happens from time to time when someone has a really amazing experience and very confirming for, you know, their own connection to their loved one, and they want someone else in their life to experience the same thing. But we have to remember that, you know, someone may live in the same house and lost the same person, but their beliefs might be different, or their, you know, their sense of knowing might be different. They might be just in a completely different space mentally, emotionally, and everything. And not that, you know, one is worse than the other. It's just they're in a different place. So someone may bring, you know, a spouse in, and because they had an incredible connection with their loved one, so they bring a spouse in and hoping that they'll have the same level of healing. But that person may not be in the same, they may not, they may have to a little bit of a different journey to get to that same place, that their journey might be a little bit longer, that there's things that they need to make peace with their own belief system, that, you know, that's one thing that a lot of times gets rocked when people lose someone, is the belief system in the bigger picture here of the afterlife, and that place, you know, that perception of the afterlife in the physical world. And so it's twofold. They've had a major loss, but it also, there's that, you know, either their previous perceptions, either based on religion or maybe none at all, or any other beliefs that may come, you know, it doesn't have to be religious, just maybe even scientific beliefs, is that, you know, that gets rocked so hard that they don't know what to believe. They get angry. They get, you know, they want answers. They want definitive answers, and they become a little bit skeptic. And you know, there's nothing, I'm okay with skepticism, with healthy skepticism. It's the cynicism that I have a problem with.
Closed-minded skepticism.
Yeah. And it's like, all I ask is people to be open to the possibility and to just, you know, maybe consider what's possible. And I, you know, there's times when people come in and they go, you know, that you gave me something to think about, and that's all I can ask. It's just, I'm giving you something to think about. I'm not here to convince anybody whether this is true. But hopefully, you know, it brings some healing.
So in your 18 years as a medium, what is, like, give us an example of, like, what is a, without naming names, obviously, but what is, like, one of the strangest readings that you've ever had? Like, is there a strange one that comes to mind when you think strange? Oh, yeah, I remember this reading. It was really strange.
Gosh, I've had a lot of them. I had one recently. Okay, I had one recently that was wild. And, it, you know, it's when, you know, some of the wildest ones is when the, you know, things start to happen within the space that we're sitting in.
Like,
I ended up doing
things, like things,
yes,
falling or crashing or.
Yeah, or think, you know, things like electronically doing things.
Oh,
so
oh, electronics, for, yeah, okay.
Yeah. So, and actually this happened, I've been going to the same hairstylist for probably 15, 20 years. I can't remember how long. I've been going for years to this one person. And I've never given her a reading ever, ever. And then the other, you know, this was probably last month. I was sitting in her chair, and I'm sure she wouldn't mind me sharing. But I was sitting in their chair, and she had had a couple of really major losses. And as she's talking about them, all of a sudden they start getting really chatty with me, which never happened before. And when I was sitting in her chair. And so I asked, you know, can I give you some information? I think they might be coming through for you, and all these things. And so a lot of things, she was like, yes, 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 yes. and that, you know, a lot of it made sense. Other things she didn't understand, so she wrote it down. And come to find out, all these things made sense to these people's loved ones, but she wasn't aware of those details about the people. But the really most amazing thing was, like, one of these people was a really close friend of hers. And actually two of them, the two separate sudden passings with a couple of months apart. And they were part of this group that used to live in a neighborhood at their lake house. So these are all the people that would gather during the summer in the same neighborhood around the lake. And so so in the middle of this, all of a sudden her Alexa machine, her speaker starts playing music. And she's like, "What's that?" And I said, "I don't know. What did, like, we didn't know where it was coming from." She goes, "I'd never heard that before. What is that?" So and it was just music. It wasn't, wasn't anything I recognized, nothing. And she ended up, I said, "Can you Shazam that and just find out what the name of that piece of music is?" And she did. And the name of the music, which neither one of us had ever heard, and we didn't ask for Alexa to play anything. It was very, just the name of it, I'm not even going to share because that's kind of personal to her, but it was incredibly profound. It was the most, like, if I had to pick something, like, wow, this would be the song that, based on what she shared with me about these people, we were both in shock. It was just wild. And it turned on while we were talking. And she goes, I don't use that thing for music. I've never had it play anything like that before. And just the song that came through, which we had never heard. And it was unreal. Even the name of the artist had meaning to it.
Wow.
I just saw her the other day and she goes, "I'm still getting chills up when I think about it."
Wow. Well, you know what? That's good for the both of you. You know, that happens. It's amazing. When you don't ask for it and you get it for free like that, holy cow. That's great.
Amazing. I was blown away. I was just like, wow, your people love you because they came through so loud and clear. Yeah, it was amazing.
That is, yeah, fantastic. Well, thank you for sharing that one. That's, I love stories like that. So when you do have those kind of skeptics or people that, you know, have had a different kind of experience or on a different path, learning path, as you said earlier, how do you handle that as a medium? You know, what do you, like, you ever get irate sitters or anything like that? Or even better, well, you know what? Let's deal with one question at a time. I'm going to write this next one down because it's a doozy. So how do you handle irate sitters?
Well, if it's a really contentious kind of thing, I would typically say, and it's so rare that that happens, but you say, "This may not be the time for you to do this right now. And we either reschedule it or we'll, you know, I just give the money back and say, okay, you know, and that's okay. You know, that people are in different places and I can't force anything on anybody. And you know, it's just rare for people to come to me basically most people that come either are very open-minded or they already are believers. And every once in a while, yes.
Yep. Hey, got to take the good with the bad, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, not that they're bad. It's just, you know, a different perspective. So
yeah, I mean, we all come from different places and we're all struggling in some way or another. And
life is a struggle. We're here to learn.
We are
bound physically by these so poorly designed bodies, for lack of a better term, that expire after only 80 years, typically, you know?
Yeah.
So I believe that we were spirit before we incarnated. Yes. And that we're very brave souls that took on this meaning called life, this challenge called living on Earth with all its crap, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a learning experience. And I think that we're doing it because I think it's a faster, it's like an accelerated growth rather than in spirit, where anything that you want can come true instantly. Where's the learning in that? You know, you want to be somewhere, boom, you're instantly there. You want this, you instantly have it. I'm not sure how exactly it works, but you know, I've got a rough mental picture of what the afterlife is like, based on the many books I've read. And I think it's, you know, it's It's all about learning. I think we're all part of the one, and you know, we can get really philosophical here, but my doozy of a question is, how do you, what happened? Do you ever hold off on, you know, you get some information that from the other side that you just don't want to share with the sitter for whatever reason? Like, it could be like an impending tragedy that's coming up or something, or you ever like, get stuff like that and you have to hold back, or do you not get it? How does that work with you?
I can honestly say the only thing that it ever really held back on something was probably twice, and that was directed by the communicator that was coming through for their loved one to hold back on something, and that's the only reason why. I don't typically receive that kind of information of like, you know, something terrible happening or anything like that. Mm-hmm. At least knowingly, I don't. There's been times when I might have said something that I didn't know I was saying it at the time, is, you know, because it was too, either it wasn't super specific enough to really understand what that meant. But mm-hmm. But just a couple of times where they, you know, our loved ones on the other side, they want us to live a full life. Mm-hmm. And they also see when we struggle. And there was two instances where I had someone come through from the other side. And I know their loved one wanted to hear from them, but they specifically said, I cannot come through today, because if I do, they will decide not to remain on Earth. And I couldn't tell my sitter that, but I said, you know, I need you to come back another time, but, you know, just want to let you know, we're going to come back another time. But it was very specific. And so they understand we have our own life to live, and they really are connected to us. They understand our struggles, and they, you know, anytime that they either come through or don't come through, or they come through, you know, they might wait a little while to come through. It really is for our highest and best good. I really believe that the communicators on the other side understand their place in our own growth. And okay. if they're going to impede that in any way, they will either come through a different way, or they'll come through, you know, in a way that's maybe, it might take a little while, but yeah, they do. Yeah. Come through.
So does anything in the afterlife, does anything scare you about the afterlife? Like, is there any violence, or is there anything like that? You know, hell, what, you know?
No.
No, I didn't think so. Okay.
No.
We had somebody write in some of the, a couple of these questions are questions that our listeners have wrote in. So that was one of them. And, I don't think, you know, I think that personally, I think there's different levels of the afterlife. You know, some books say there's like 7 different levels, and the higher, it's based on your energy vibration, which level you go to. There's like the medium level, which is called Summerland, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But what do you think about all the levels? And because different, and you don't necessarily have to agree with it, because no mediums agree with it. Put it that way. Some do, some don't, you know.
So. Yeah. I think we put a human context on these different levels, and that's because it's the best we can do, right? Because that's what we know. We can
interpret it, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I do believe that we learn a lot. That we maybe go to, you know, some kind of school on the other side, or some levels of schooling. And I'm not afraid of the spirit world. I feel much more comfortable with the spirit world than I'm more nervous of where we are. I think there's more to worry about here.
Yeah. I mean, especially as of late, but I'm not going to get into politics.
yeah. That's pretty good. I agree with you 100%.
Oh, I agree with you 100%. I know we're both talking the same thing, but we won't mention anything.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I know where you're going with that, but yeah, we'll stay on the focus on the spirit side here. But I really feel like I do believe we're our own judge and jury on the other side too, though. And I think that's a lot of things that people are afraid of when they cross over, is there might be some beliefs that they're going to be punished in some way. And I really believe that we do experience the things that we get to experience, not
Yeah.
only the joy that we bring to others, but we get to
It's
have
like
an
a lifetime,
understanding.
the life review, for example.
Exactly. We have an understanding of how we affected everybody, even if we didn't ex you know we didn't plan on you know how we however we affected other people's lives in whichever way that we have that review. And I think that's what people are most afraid of, to be honest. And you don't come out of this life not affecting somebody either negatively or positively, because if you live long enough, that's going to happen whether you mean
Both,
to,
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
yeah.
I'm worried that I'm gonna I remember when I was a little kid, I killed some frogs. I think I was 5 years old, and I crushed, I didn't know what I was doing, and
Of course,
I
yes.
think back at it, it's like these are innocent frogs that I killed. Why would I kill frogs? But I did
Yeah.
it, so I'm worried about my life review that I'm gonna experience like frogs killing me or something.
Oh, I think, well, the thing is that I mean, you have the empathy of what happened there, right?
Oh
You're
yeah, I know it
experiencing
was
that now.
wrong and I was a kid
Yeah.
and all that.
That's the most important thing, I think. I really do. That there was already a recognition of that. So,
Oh yeah. I mean, I'll go out of my way to not, I've had accidents where a squirrel has run in front of my car and I've tried to
Boo.
avoid the squirrel and then, everything in the car went careening and smashed the windshield and I've been there.
Me too. I'm a vegetarian, so I get
Oh, so you're
that.
even more, yeah.
Yeah.
For you.
Yeah, I get it.
So spirits that have crossed over a long time ago, like 50, 100 years ago,
Yeah.
famous historical figures, do they ever come through in your readings?
Only if they've been connected somehow to the person I'm sitting with.
Okay, if they're not connected, they won't come through.
No, I've never had anybody come through that wasn't somehow connected by family or something like that.
Like I'm a big I'm a guitar freak. Well, you saw the video of me. I have like a lot of guitars. And
Oh, that's
I'm a
awesome.
big Eddie Van Halen freak.
Oh,
So
fantastic.
if I did a reading with you and asked to speak to Eddie Van Halen, he would not come through.
Not unless you had a connection to him, most
No, I
likely.
didn't have it. I just liked his music,
So let me have I have one question for you.
Yes.
Van Halen or Van Hagar?
Oh, Van Halen.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Good old David Lee Roth. Absolutely.
I had to
First
ask.
four albums, amazing. I mean, it was good up until 1984. After that, Hagar was good. Commercially, they were the most successful, but hey, we're not here to talk about that. But hey, you recognize that. I'm a big Van Halen fan and big, yeah. It's when I was a kid, I did all their, I went to all their concerts, Van Halen and Rush, because I'm from Canada and you had to go to Rush, eh?
Oh yeah. Rush is amazing. Like Rush
Oh
is yeah. That's really like for some reason their music really speaks to me.
yeah,
There's just something about yeah, I
my
don't know
Rush
what it is.
show, Neil Peart is he's crossed over, but he was brilliant too. He wrote a couple of books too. He went through a tragedy where his wife and kids got killed. I forget exactly how, but one second he had a family, one second he didn't, and then he went on this big motorcycle ride all the way from Alaska all the way to South America, and wrote a book about his experience with that. That was
Really? I didn't know that. I'll have to look that up. I didn't
yeah,
know
look
that
it up.
about
It's a fascinating book. Fascinating. And he was definitely he was more pragmatic, but he was a, I think he's a believer in the afterlife, and some of his writings kind of reflect that. So, really good book. Helped
Yeah,
me.
I can.
His book came out right after my son crossed over, so it
Wow.
helped me a lot.
Oh, I'm definitely gonna look that up then, for
Yeah,
sure.
thank you. Yeah, great. So, well, you know what? Holy crap. I told you this was the fastest 55 minutes. It's crazy. Our time is like basically
Yeah.
yeah, so before we go though, I want you to just tell our listeners how they can get a hold of you again, and what how far in advance are you booked, what they can expect, that kind of thing. Tell us about you a little bit.
Sure. Well, you can find everything at laurawooster.com. And I do not only mediumship readings, but I also do intuitive readings, which it's like a psychic reading. But I can look into, what your strengths are, what, maybe look at some potentials of things around you. And I love to do that. It's a lot of fun. But yeah, I can do either. Some people need connections to the other side, some people need life advice. And so I'm able to do either one.
Fantastic. Yeah, I've a lot of the mediums can do that. It's something that you guys tap into that can do both, like the communication with the with cross spirits and kind of like what is it, the ether or what's around us that like how everything affects us. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, I do a lot of aura reading.
Nice. Very nice. Well, that's it. We're out of time. And Laura, thank you
Really?
so much. It was so you're so easy to talk to. Oh my God.
You too. This has been a pleasure, Roman. Thank you so much. This has been wonderful.
The pleasure is all mine, and the pleasure is with our listeners as well. Thank you so much.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks for
Okay, good
listening.
night, everybody. Talk to you next month. All the best.